It's World Bee Day today. The super important pollinators and honey makers diversify produce options at the market and help plants to thrive. Joining me for a chat about bees is commercial beekeeper from York Peninsula and member of the SA Apiarist Association, Danny Lefebvre. Hi there, Danny.
Hi, how are you going?
I'm really well, thank you. What do you think is most fascinating about bees?
Oh, look, I think the bees, they're unbelievable. They're an insect. They live in a hive, and a hive might have 30 or 40 or 50 or more thousand individual bees in there, yet they all work as one organism. They all have a role to play. They all work their guts out for their whole life, don't sleep, and all that to pollinate the food that we eat. And, you know, without the bees, we are definitely not going to have the choice and the variety of food that we see in the shops at the moment.
Yeah, I saw a photo, quite a stark and scary photo a little while back of what it would look like, what the supermarket shelves would look like without bees. It's quite a few different plants, isn't it?
Yeah, it's quite scary. I mean, we do have other pollinating insects in Australia and some cross some varieties that are able to self-pollinate, but with the way we grow food now in big blocks and commercial settings to try and keep the cost of food down, the only way we can pollinate is by using managed honeybees at this stage. So they're really important for our food chain. You know, we've got in South Australia some 65,000 beehives, and majority of those beehives are participating in pollination, particularly in almonds in the Riverlands. So they're producing most of the almonds we eat. But they also do stuff like the apples and cherries and pears in the hills, citrus, blueberries, small seeds like lucerne seed and clover seeds, a whole range of crops right across the state.
How else do we benefit from pollination?
Well, with pollination, we know there's some early work done, some scientific work done around what benefits bees bring when they pollinate, say, an apple tree efficiently. So we know if a apple flower has been visited by number of bees, with the right cross-pollination, so pollen from another plant, and it's fertilised it really well, then we know that when you see that fruit on the shelf, it's nice and round, it's symmetrical, it's usually bigger. We also now know that it has a longer shelf life because of the additional nutrition in that fruit. And when you cut it open and see seeds in an apple, there's 10 segments, and we know that there's 10 seeds in there that it's been really well pollinated. When you see those misshapen fruit, often it's because it just hasn't quite been pollinated enough by an insect.
Oh, right. I hear that honey has different quality and taste depending on the region.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, we place our bees, as a commercial beekeeper, we're shifting our bees around the state all the time and chasing different honey flows to keep our bees really healthy. And honeybees, you know, they need sugar and then they also need protein. The sugar that comes from the nectar of the flower and the proteins from the pollen, also from flowers. But every tree that we place our bees to work provides a different type of pollen or a different flavour nectar. So when the bees gather that nectar and work on it, and they add an enzyme to convert the sugars in it and reduce the moisture and turn it into the honey that we know, the flavour from the original source that nectar came from is carried through. So we can put our bees on something like a blue gum, one of the ginormous great big blue gums we have in South Australia, and you'll end up with a very light-coloured, mild flavour honey. Or you can go and put those bees near some tea tree, for example, some Melaleucas, and end up with a very dark honey, strong flavoured, bold. And so there's a lot of comparisons to be drawn between, you know, the types of honeys we've got and for example, wines. We're just not quite as developed as the wine industry, but, you know, you can think of different honeys from different regions having that big a difference in flavour that it's some people can just taste it and tell you where it's come from.
Oh, that's very clever. Very cool. Mm. Danny Lefebvre is with me from the SA Apiarist Association, is a beekeeper. Does eating local honey help alleviate hay fever?
Yeah, look, I get this question a lot. I know I can only speak anecdotally. I know myself, I was a chronic hay fever sufferer. I've been a beekeeper now for nearly 15 years, and when I first started beekeeping and eating the honey that we produced, it alleviated my hay fever. And the reason that people claim that is that honey contains a lot of things, but one of the components in there is pollen from where the honey's come from.
Mm.
So if you're consuming small amounts of pollen from your local area, generally it's the pollen that will give you hay fever. There's an argument saying that it's almost like immunotherapy, where you, little doses of that pollen, it gets you used to it, and because you can have that year-round, reduces the reaction you have to those allergens.
There you go. All right. Maybe a bit more research needs to be done, but that is fascinating. And are there any biosecurity concerns that South Australia is facing at the moment with regards to bees?
Yeah, look, bees are vulnerable like any other livestock to diseases and pests. In South Australia, in Australia as a whole, we're pretty lucky in that we don't have perhaps the most devastating pest in the world, which is varroa mite. It's a parasitic mite that sucks on the bee and weakens it and shortens its lifespan. Australia is the last continent in the world to be free of varroa mite. We have had it arrive on our shores, but we've been able to contain and eradicate it, which has been really a really great effort of our biosecurity teams. So outside of that, we do have some endemic diseases in Australia, so things like American fowl brood, European fowl brood, chalk brood. We have some Nosema and a few other diseases that can really impact on the bees that we own. So it is really important and in preventing and biosecurity measures when it comes to bees. And so, you know, things like having a beehive in your backyard, whilst it sounds, you know, great to save the bees and contribute, sometimes it can provide the opposite effect to the industry. So it's really important. Well, it could contain disease and become a breeding or a source of disease if those hives aren't managed properly. So it's really important that when people do decide to get a hive in their backyard, that they're also prepared to look after it or prepared to open it and go through it, check for disease. It is a legal requirement to do that in South Australia. But beyond that, it's really important for the whole industry that everyone tries to contain disease.
That's good to know. They really are an incredible little creature, aren't they?
They're a fascinating creature, massive as a collective organism, you know, 80,000 individuals all acting in unison as one and as one organism. It's they're an incredible insect.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, well, really lovely to have you on the program today, Danny Lefevre. Thanks so much for your time.
My pleasure.